if you would pull out your outlines that say authentic transformation across the top of them, and if you would open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Well, number one, letter A. So far this summer, we have been exploring the question, what is the church? And we have begun with Jesus' Great Commission. That's what's found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And the Great Commission is located in verses 19 and 20, and it's right up there on the screen. We've done this because we have been focusing on experiencing the church according to its mission. Not according to the church being a building, not according to the things that we do, like singing in worship or meeting together in small groups or coming together in a large group. Those things are not nearly as important as the mission of the church. And we find the mission of the church in four different passages that are in the New Testament, but most clearly in this one. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all or everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. This is the mission of the church. Now, just to be clear, because I've asked you this almost every single Sunday, what is the mission of the church? Yes. It is to make disciples. The single verb in this entire section is to make disciples. We make disciples. That's what our mission is. That's what we do. This is the central mission, letter B, of the church. It's the most important purpose that exists in the church. The church was established. The church exists so that it can make disciples of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? How do we make disciples, letter C? Well, the church has been given three things that it does on the way to making disciples. The first thing it does is we go. The second thing that we do is we baptize. And the last thing that we do is teach. These were the three things that we are supposed to do in order to make disciples. Take a look at letter C. How do we make these disciples? Well, the church goes. We are a going movement. A lot of people look at the church as being an institution, as being an establishment. And yet in the Bible, the church is on the move. The church is going to family. The church goes to friends. The church goes to neighbors with the good news about Jesus Christ. This is our very first step in accomplishing our mission. We are called to be goers. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Now, what happens? What happens when someone becomes a new disciple of Jesus? They trust in Jesus, and what happens to them? The church baptizes new disciples, and sometimes we even baptize old disciples. But the purpose of baptism is to say that a person is converted inside of their heart. They have moved from a place of hostility with God, and they move into a place of acceptance or trust in Jesus Christ. And when they do that, they identify with the mission of Jesus Christ's church by becoming baptized. They die to the old and they are resurrected in the same way that Jesus Christ was to the new. This is a symbol of what has happened in our hearts. And it's an identification publicly that your life, my life, and all the lives of the disciples belong to Jesus Christ. So the first thing we're doing is going. We're going to family, we're going to friends, we're going to neighbors, and we're delivering this good news about Jesus. When someone responds to the great gift that God is giving them in Jesus Christ, they identify with Jesus by being baptized. That's an identification with His people. And then finally, what do we do? What do we do with these newly baptized disciples? You already know where I'm going. It's right up there on the screen in both locations. The church teaches people. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to teach people about God's great story and how God has been on a mission from the very beginning to make disciples of all people in all places, everywhere. Whether you are here, whether you are in China, whether you are in Afghanistan, whether you are wherever, God's great mission has been to make disciples of all people. Now, let me ask you a question. As we've walked through this, as we've been exploring this mission that God has given to us, who is supposed to make these disciples? Who is the person that is supposed to make disciples by going, top of the next page, baptizing and teaching? These three things are what we do. Making disciples is the essence of our mission. We're going, we're baptizing, we're teaching. Who's supposed to do that? Jesus certainly must have left such an important mission in the hands of important people, right? He left it in the hands of pastors, right? He left it in the hands of important religious leaders, right? He left it in the hands of the intellectual elite, did he not? No, he didn't, did he? Jesus, letter G, placed the success of the mission into the hands of regular people. He placed it in the hands of regular people, the same people that stare back at you in the mirror. That would be you and me. This is who God has left the mission in the hands of. People that were already his disciples, and he called them family. Remember in 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul, writing to the church or writing to Timothy, says the church ought to behave or know how one ought to behave in the household of God. We are the household, the family, the home of God. We are spoken of in terms of family. We've talked a lot about this over the course of the summer. The mission, in other words, is for disciples, those of us that are disciples, to make disciples. And then those disciples make disciples. And those disciples do what? They make disciples. We are a movement of disciples that make disciples who make disciples and so on and so on and so on. This is the mission of the church. Well, what is it exactly, if that's the mission of the church, what is it exactly that we are teaching to these new disciples? If Jesus wants the entire family, and by the way, I mean you and me. I'm talking about the church. The church is not a building. That's a location. The church is not an institution. It's none of those things. The church is people. Jesus talked about the church being family. Your home is a place that you live, but your home is your family. I just talked to a mom yesterday who she was preparing for a party, for a birthday party for her grandson. And she said at one point she looked around the kitchen and all of her children, now grown adults, some of them married, were all in the kitchen with her. And she said, it's one of those moments for a grandma, you know, who's got her own children right there in the kitchen with none of their spouses, none of the rest around. And she just said, it was so great. It felt so much like home again. Yeah, home is our family, is it not? When we're around family, we just, people know us and we know them, and it feels correct and it feels right. Jesus wants that whole family of disciples to participate in teaching. Have you ever thought about that? We often think of the purpose of the church. We know it's to teach, but we often relegate that responsibility to who? The bald guy. We relegate it to the elders or people that know a lot. Those are the teachers, right? You certainly don't want me to teach, do you, Chris? You don't want me to have that responsibility, do you? I mean, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't think I should probably be a teacher. Well, let me clarify exactly what Jesus is talking about. First, the pressure that you're feeling is true. Jesus wants all of his disciples to go, to baptize, and to teach. Jesus Christ, this morning, is communicating through that verse that's gone, through Matthew 28:19-20, that he wants all of us, every single one of us, to participate in making disciples. That means we are all goers, we are all baptizers, we are all teachers. Now, what's that all about? What is it that we are supposed to be teaching? Number two, what does the church, that's us, people, teach? If Jesus wants the whole family of disciples to participate in teaching, what is it disciples like you and me are supposed to teach? Well, let me share what the scriptures say. The most important thing for every disciple to be able to teach is known as the gospel. You know what that word means? The gospel means the good news. That's what the word means. Gospel is an ancient word, and it means the good news. We still use it today to represent the good news about Jesus Christ. Gospel means good news. A disciple teaches the good news. Now, let me just draw a distinction. In the church, there are certain people that are particularly gifted to teach, and they often lead ministries or lead areas within our church of teaching. They teach equipping hour. They might teach Sunday school. They might teach, like they might preach up front. These are people that have been set apart, and we have recognized, you know what? You got a gift for this. We think God really works through the things that you share. You are a gifted teacher, and we are going to put you in a position where you are going to get the opportunity to teach. And they do not just teach, well, I shouldn't say that. They do not just teach the simple story of the gospel. They can teach from any part of the Bible and bring it back to Jesus Christ. You know, the center point of all of Scripture is who? Jesus. And so they can take from anywhere in the Bible, they can take you right from that point, and they can draw you back into that focus on Jesus. So there are some people that are particularly gifted for teaching. There are other people, which I've pointed out before, that are particularly gifted for evangelism. There are other people that are particularly gifted for leadership. Does that mean we only let the evangelists evangelize? Does that mean we only let the leaders do baptisms and communion and other leadership kinds of things? Does that mean that we only let the teachers teach? You should know by now, right, that that is not true. Everybody, all the church, is participating in going, baptizing, and teaching. Yes, there are going to be people that lead those areas of ministry that are particularly gifted for them. But when Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission, He was not just talking to people that were evangelists. He was not just talking to people that were leaders. He was not just talking to people that were teachers. He was talking to you and to me and to all of us. So what is it? What is it that He has given us to teach? He has given us the gospel. This is the central thing that every disciple should know how to teach. It's basic in its most simple form in the Bible. The gospel is described in very easy to understand basic terms. But the more you grow in your relationship with Jesus, the more you will realize that this entire book is the gospel. All of the Bible points to Jesus. You're reading some silly genealogy in the Old Testament, and you just think, oh, this is a cure for insomnia. This is horrible. I don't understand any of this. So boring. We got the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Otherites, and they're all fighting each other, and I don't know what this has to do with anything that's important about Jesus. See, the deeper you learn those stories, the more you understand what God has been up to, the more you will realize it is all about the good news of Jesus Christ. So the gospel is very simple on one end, and yet the more you grow and the more you learn, it can be highly involved and highly complex. That's what we have the teachers teaching about, as I said earlier. What are we all supposed to know? The simple story of Jesus. Every one of us in this room can share and teach that simple story to anybody that is around us, our friends, our family, and our neighbors. Well, what is this good news? Number three, what is this good news that the Bible speaks of? What is this gospel? You know, we live in a world that is filled with bad news, do we not? Some of you that are on the prayer chain got word that one of Alexis Masterson's, or Alexis McKelvey now, Gay and Bob Masterson's daughter, Alexis, she had twins, they were preemie, and she lost one yesterday. One of them passed away. They had to take him off of life support. And he, in the words of Alexis, slipped into the arms of Jesus. It was about 2:30, 2:45 yesterday. I was talking to my wife and talking to some friends about it yesterday, and I just can't think of anything more horrible than having to make the choices that Alexis and Chris had to make, nor can I think of anything worse. And I know some of you have experienced this, and it pains me. I can't think of anything worse than having to bury your own child. That just is horrible. No parent should ever bury their child. It's just a terrible thing. Children, you can bury us, but we don't want to bury you. Honestly, it's a terrible thing. I like probably every person in this room, began to hear the reports the other night of this shooting out in Colorado at the Dark Knight premiere, this Batman premiere. This young man that was filled with insanity, walking into a loaded movie theater in the middle of the night and opening fire. I have read in horror the stories of what happened. Our world is filled with bad news, is it not? There are terrible things that happen around all of us. Sometimes they happen even to you. But I got to tell you, the very worst news is not what you're going to hear in the media or on Facebook. The very worst news that exists in all the universe is that people are sinners. And because of their sin, Romans 3:23 says that every person, all of us have sinned. We fall short of God's perfection or His glory. Every single one of us are sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God, Romans says. This is the worst news possible. That God wants to have a relationship with you and I. But because of sin, it opens up a grand canyon, a gigantic chasm between us and God. And that by no effort that you could ever accomplish, you will never be able to reach to God. It would be like trying to jump across the Grand Canyon. You can work out. You can get good at jumping. It doesn't matter, right? You'll never make that kind of a jump. That is an impossibility. It will not ever happen. This is horrible news. God is there, and we are here. And the thing that separates us is sin. Even worse is Romans 6:23. The penalty for sin is separation and eternal death from God. I mean, as though the message is not bad enough, we find out that the penalty for sin is death and separation from God. Now, why in the world would this be part of the good news? I am locating this part of the story as being part of the good news. I want you to see that clearly. This is an essential part of the good news about Jesus. Strange, isn't it? Strange that we would ever start there. That we would start in sin. That we would start in death. That we'd start in separation. But it's what makes the news about Jesus so great. It's what makes It just makes the news about Jesus that much more wonderful. How can sin, let her be, death and separation be part of this good news? Well, here it comes. Are you bracing for this? Those of you that know the story, you should smile right now. Don't sit there and just look like you're, oh, I've heard this all before. Could he get onto something I haven't heard before? This is good stuff. God loves people, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave up his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not experience death, will not experience that separation, but will have eternal life. You get to be part of his family. God, letter C, sent his perfect Son, Jesus, to make a way to have a good relationship with God. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father God except through a relationship with me. This is the great message, that you can have a relationship with God across that chasm of sin through Jesus Christ. God knew that you could not reach Him, but God also knew that He could reach out to you. And He did it through His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus to live in a human life with you and me, flesh and blood. And He sent Him right into our little fishbowl so that He could speak about having a relationship with God. And what we realize through the words of Jesus is that this is what God has been up to the whole time. He has been up to this from the start. He is going to be up to this to the finish. He desires to have a relationship with people. For God so loved the world. This is great news. You don't have to be stuck in sin, stuck in death, stuck in separation. If anyone will trust their lives to Jesus Christ, they will be saved by God's great and undeserved grace. It says that God's love for you is so powerful that even if you hate Him, God still loves you. That even when you are hostile towards Him, living your own life, doing your own thing, running your own show, that God still loves you. That God's love for you is solid, it is steady, it is consistent, and it is constant. God's love is pursuing you this morning. There is no question that this is the good news. Ephesians 2:8-9. It's right up here on the screen. For it is by grace, undeserved love, that you have been saved through faith. Trust. Faith is an older word for having trust in someone. And that it is not of yourselves. In other words, you didn't do it. It is the gift of God. It is not a result of works. It's not a result of living good. It's not a result of being a nice person. Those are all great, but they do not bridge the gap between God and us. Only Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Only Jesus can bridge the gap to God. It's not a result of your works, so that none of us can boast. What do we boast in? I was a sinner, and I was saved by Jesus. That's why we call it salvation. It is as though we are drowning in an ocean that we could never swim out of, and Jesus Christ appears to help us out of that situation, to save our lives, and to bring us to safety. This is the great message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We, those of us that have trusted in Jesus Christ, are the people of God, known as the church, who bring this good news to everybody that we know. Acts 1:8, right? Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. We take this message and we go and we baptize and we teach it. I got to ask you, is this a message that you teach? Is this a message that you carry to the world that is around you? Is this, since it's the central mission of the church, is this the central mission of your own life? Because this is what we all teach. Not just me, right? I know I'm a professional so to speak. Pastor, in the loosest sense of the word. I do this for a living. I study and I preach and I meet with people. I talk to them about spiritual matters. And I try to talk to people that are away from here, like my friends, my neighbors, and the friends that I have at Starbucks especially. And, you know, I try to teach. I try to share. I go. I have the opportunity to literally baptize. And I spend a lot of my life teaching about this gospel. This gospel is dramatic, and it is exciting, and it is good news. You even hear me talk about it as being great news. The darker the world gets, the better this news becomes. And we live in a dark, dark world. We live in a world where things just don't seem to necessarily be getting much better. We are consistently horrified by the bad news. And I want to invite you, those of you that have trusted Jesus Christ, to be more consistently dazzled by the good news. That when you hear the bad news, you would think, praise God that you sent Jesus. And you have saved me from all of that. And there is a future in my life that does not contain sin, death, and separation. This is the great news of Jesus Christ. How do we go about teaching this? How do we go about communicating this? I got to tell you, the number one way the church can teach the good news is by authentic living, by actually being transformed by it, by actually living a life that is genuinely transformed by the gospel. You know of what I speak. Are you truly being transformed by the message of the gospel that is contained inside of this book? The Bible says that this message gets inside of your life and it transforms you in a very authentic way from the inside of your soul to the outside of your person. Is this true of you? True transformation authenticates the message of the good news. But if you do not live transformed in front of your neighbors, if you do not live transformed in front of your friends, in front of your family, in front of people, it doesn't matter what you say. Because it's not really authentic. It doesn't really connect with people. Have you ever heard about patience from an angry person? Right? Do you not have that little lobe inside of your head that the light goes off and says, I don't know why I'm listening to this person. This doesn't seem reasonable. It's that kind of thing. When people inside of their souls know that if we are not people that are living a transformed lives, why would they ever listen to us about the good news of Jesus Christ? Do you want to teach this message? The loudest thing you can do is to live it first. The loudest thing you can do is to live a transformed life. Is to allow the words of the gospel to trickle down into the interior of your life and deal with the most difficult issues that you face. The old saying, which is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, and he didn't actually say it. He's a guy, I mean, that lived a long time ago. But they'll attribute this quote to him. Preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. Now, and that's a nice thought, isn't it? Like, I think that resonates with a lot of us. Because we can be very wordy without being very authentic. And so I think that connects with people in the church. I would like to modify that a little bit, though. Because the Bible says that people will hear about and be moved by salvation because of the preaching of the word. The preaching is not a silent activity. I mean, you should know that. But you got to use words too. And so I would phrase it this way. Always be preaching the gospel. Always preach the gospel. And because it's necessary, be sure to use your words too. I think that's probably a stronger conviction for us, because some of us are happy to just live the Christian life while our friends, our neighbors, and our family don't know anything about the gospel, and we're like, well, I hope they pick it up. I hope they figure out I'm different. Maybe someday they'll ask me. You do need to use words. You do need to preach. You do need to teach the message of the gospel. Every one of us. Don't sit there and think, no, I'm just going to bring them to church and let Chris handle it. You know, I've said this a lot of times. I don't bring my friends to you at your job and say, hey, could you talk to them about Jesus? I'm just going to drop them off. I got to go. I would never do that at your job. What would you say to me if I brought my friends to your job and said, could you talk to them about Jesus? You'd be like, dude, why don't you talk to them about Jesus? It seems like you should know something about that. Same thing. I'm saying the same thing to every single person that is a disciple of Jesus. You and I, together, in a movement, not an institution, not in a building, together, we go, we baptize, we teach, we hold on tightly to one another. We talked about that last week. If you were planning on leaving this church after last week's sermon, I'm sorry for the guilt that you're facing. This last week, many of you talked to me about that. I didn't realize so many people wanted to leave. But we live lives of true transformation because life and death is on the line. We live these lives in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is what we speak. Even today, some of you that are here do not know where you stand in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, I could call people to come up here and pray a prayer or to do something of that sort. I am more interested in you that are friends with each other having significant conversations about this stuff in your own homes at lunch today during the week that is coming. That is what is significant. Parents, talk to your kids if you don't know where they stand on the gospel. Kids, talk to your parents gently, but talk to your parents about the gospel. Let's allow the gospel to be the thing that encourages us to go, to baptize, to teach. Let's be drawn into this good news about Jesus Christ. That's enough for today. The worship team's going to come up right now. Could I encourage you as we have this opportunity to respond in worship, to truly do business with God. If you have never responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, take this opportunity right now to trust in Jesus. If you have already responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I want to challenge you to respond to Jesus about how you are living out the going, the baptizing, the teaching in the midst of your own life. Let's be challenged by these things. Let's move together in walking with Jesus as what? His disciples who make disciples who make disciples. This is our mission.